1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now turn over to 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and the 19th verse. The 6th chapter, the 19th verse. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Then 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. Beginning in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then finally, 1 John, the 4th chapter. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Now I want to talk to you tonight about the importance of becoming God inside minded. God inside minded. You know, this is the greatest single truth that is revealed in the New Testament concerning our relationship with God once we become Christians. And that is that God lives in our spirits. God resides and makes his home within us. God, the God of the universe, the God, the creator of the universe, lives on the inside of us. And sometimes the natural mind may have a difficult time comprehending or understanding that principle or that fact, but it is scriptural, it is biblical, and we need to understand it and walk in the light of it. You know, if you grasp this one truth, that is, God lives in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. If you grasp that one truth and renew your mind to that fact, your life will become totally different. There will be no more sad days. There will be no more depressed days. Fear will become a thing of the past. Sickness and disease will no longer be an issue in your life. And every day will become a brighter day and a more glorious day. And your confession will change. You'll no longer talk about your problems. You'll no longer talk about discouragement, but you'll talk about who you are and what you have and who lives on the inside of you. And as a result of who's living on the inside of you, you are more than a conqueror. You're more than an overcomer. Hallelujah. Now I want you to go back to this third chapter of 1 Corinthians, because Paul makes a very interesting comment to the church at Corinth. And he's writing this letter or this epistle to this local group of individuals. We call them a church, a congregation, an assembly in Corinth. Now notice, I want to read to you from the Amplified Version. I like the Amplified Version of this 16th verse. Paul said, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth? Now if he was writing today and he was writing to us, he would say, do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Broken Arrow, or the whole church at Rhema? He'd be writing to a local congregation. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually? Now you see, once that dawns on your spirit, it'll change you. Notice again what he's saying. Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary? That's his dwelling place, his home. And that God's Spirit has his permanent, not temporary, See, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. His permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually. Now, he's writing to the church at Corinth, to the believers at Corinth. But, you know, this applies to any church. It applies to any local assembly as well as to the universal church, every born-again believer. Now, there is, and this is something you have to understand that Paul is bringing out, there is a collective indwelling presence and an individual indwelling presence. That's what I want you to get. Look at that again. There is a collective indwelling presence, and there is an individual indwelling presence. See, when you were born again, the Holy Spirit came into you and did the work of regeneration and recreated your spirit. You became a new creature in Christ Jesus, and God took up residence in you. Hallelujah. In your spirit. But here Paul is saying you have to understand not only is he living in you individually, but he's also living in you collectively. There is a collective indwelling presence. Now you see, when we understand that, this truth refutes the argument that you don't need to come to church. Well, I can be just as good a Christian as you are and I don't have to come to church. No, you can't. I said, no, you can't be just as good a Christian. Because there is a collective indwelling presence that you will not experience unless you come together as a body of believers and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. There is a manifestation of God's presence and God's glory that you will not experience unless you assemble together with other Christians of like precious faith. Now, you can experience God in your own personal life, and you should, and you'll have a unique experience. But there is a collective manifestation. There is a collective anointing that we will not experience until we come together. Notice what Paul said. His presence will manifest in you collectively and individually. We need to get a hold of that and understand that. Now, over in Acts chapter 4, you don't have to turn there. You know the story. We have an illustration of that. Peter and John being let go after they were arrested, they went to their own company and they prayed. They lifted their voice to God and began by extolling God and saying how big God is. You know, many people, if they just followed that example, they would learn to be overcomers. When the devil does something to you, the first thing many Christians do is begin to talk about how big the devil is, how bad the devil is, how big their problem is. Notice Peter and John were threatened, and when they returned, they lifted their voice. They didn't talk about how big the devil was. They didn't talk about their persecution. They didn't talk about their problems. They talked about how big God is. They lifted their voice and said, God, you are great. You are the creator of heaven and earth. Hallelujah. We serve a great God. And then they ended their prayer, and the Bible said when they ended their prayer, the very place where they assembled together shook. And they opened their mouth and spoke the word of God with boldness. That's a manifestation of the collective presence of God, because they gathered together as a group of believers, and the presence of God manifested in that collective body, because God said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, that's where I am. Hallelujah. There is a collective manifestation of his presence and his glory that we need to experience. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know about you, but when I talk about God living in me, it does something to me. God living in me, God living in you. Greater, greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in you. I'd like to just meditate on that, dwell on that. Confess that. Look at Ephesians for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice here, in whom, Paul is talking about the church, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. Notice that. In whom you also are builded together for an habitation. Think about that. You are builded together, Paul said, for a habitation. That is where God dwells. There is a collective manifestation that God wants to demonstrate in the church today. Just like in the book of Acts, just like in the early church, there is a manifestation of His power and glory that He wants to demonstrate when believers come together of like precious faith and they're in one accord in the way they pray, the way they think, the way they believe. And when that unity comes together, God manifests Himself in a great way. In a great way. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Peter said, "You also, as living stones, lively stones, are built up a what?" You're built up as a what? Spiritual house. You see, many times we come into a church building. I was raised in a denominational church. And, you know, many times we would equate the building as where God lived. And we'd say, "This is the house of God." And, you know, we would act reverently, and I believe we ought to act reverently in the facility that we dedicate to worship and serve God in. However, with our denominational thinking, we focused on the building. We didn't even think about the fact that God lived in us. And so we were reverent when we came in the building because we thought God was in there. But when we got outside the building, we acted like unbelievers. And we didn't realize we took God with us outside the building. It's not the building where God lives. Now, we dedicate and consecrate buildings and build buildings so we can worship God and gather together, and that's okay. But do you realize God's presence is not here unless we're here? Because we are carriers of God's presence. God lives in you. And we have to get a hold of that. Notice that. He said this, "You are lively stones, living stones, and you are built up a spiritual house. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." And so there is a collective indwelling presence. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's look at the 19th verse. Paul continues with this theme throughout his epistle, both in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And notice in verse 19, he begins by asking this question, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own." I like the Amplified again. "Do you not know that your body is the temple?" Your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. Who you have received as a gift from God, you are not your own. You're bought for a price. Boy, you could preach a week on that statement. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Purchased with a preciousness and paid for, made His own. So then honor God and bring glory to Him in your body. Now, God owns your body just as much as He owns your spirit. Let me say it again. God owns your body just as much as He owns your spirit. You just can't do anything you want to with your body. Are you listening to me? He paid for that body. He paid for that spirit with the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood was shed at Calvary to redeem you spirit, soul, and body. He owns you. Hallelujah. He owns you. That means you're obligated to do something with your body and your spirit that brings glory and honor to Him because He paid for it. So God owns your body just as much as He owns your spirit. He wants you to present your body just as much as He wants you to present your spirit. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
And we need to think about that. What we do with this body, what we do with our spirit, can glorify Him, bring honor to Him. See, this body's the temple because your spirit is on the inside of your body, and the Holy Spirit, God's presence, lives in your spirit.
Amen.
Now, back up there. Notice something here. I was reading this one day, and the Lord spoke to me about a few things, and I want to share this real quickly with you. Notice, back up to verse 13. Paul said, meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, notice this next statement. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Do you notice that? Notice before He is the Lord of your body, you have to present your body. You notice that? And when you present your body to the Lord, then he'll be the Lord of your body. In other words, when you present your body to him, as Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, then he'll be the Lord of your body. He'll be the healer of your body. He'll be the deliverer of your body. He'll be the preserver, the strengthener of your body. But you got to present it to him. Are you listening to me? So we are to present not only our body, but our spirit to God. Now, under the old covenant, we know that God's presence was confined to a location. It was confined to the tabernacle that was constructed in the wilderness. God gave them specific instructions, and they had the outer court, the inner court. They had the Holy of Holies. And then later on, of course, Solomon built the temple. And then a temple was constructed, and the Holy of Holies was constructed within that temple. And God's presence was confined in that temple under the old covenant. But we know when Jesus died at Calvary, we know from reading the scriptures that when he died, that the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom, the Bible says, signifying that God's presence moved out of the Holy of Holies, never again to dwell in a man-made tabernacle or ark, but now to dwell in us, to live on the inside of us. And so we can see now that under the new covenant, we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. Turn over to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, you know under the old covenant that only the priest could only enter into the Holy of Holies when God signified at the proper time. And then and only then could he come into the presence, the Shekinah glory presence of God. We know that every male in Jerusalem, or every male in Israel, had to present themselves. If you read historical writings, every male in Israel had to present themselves before God one time a year at Jerusalem where the temple was, because that is where the presence of God was. And they had to come and present themselves to the presence of God one time a year. That was old covenant. Aren't you glad you don't have to experience the presence of God only one time a year? You can experience the presence of God daily because he's in you on the inside. Now notice here, 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. And notice again, verse 14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now what Paul is going to do is, he down through these verses, he's going to draw a comparison or a contrast, really, between believers and unbelievers. And he's going to use descriptive words to identify believers from unbelievers. Let's notice this list. First of all, he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He calls believers righteousness. You are righteous. As a matter of fact, the Bible said you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Hallelujah. He calls unbelievers, notice he calls unbelievers unrighteousness. Then he goes on to say, what communion hath light with darkness? Christians he calls light. Those outside the family of God are still in what? Darkness. Notice verse 15. What concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? He calls the believer Christ. Now, you're not literally Jesus Christ. There's only one Jesus. There's only one Jesus, one head of the church. You understand what he's talking about. He that is joined unto the Lord, 1 Corinthians 16 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We're one spirit with Christ. But notice, he calls the believer Christ, not literally Jesus, but in Christ. He calls the unbeliever, of course, associated with Belial, which is a type of the devil or darkness. He goes on to say, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Believer, infidel. What agreement hath the temple of God? He calls you the temple of God. Hallelujah. You realize you're the temple of God? The temple. The temple. We look and we read under the old covenant how the priest could not go in until the Shekinah glory came. And if he went in an improper method, there was the danger of dropping dead, going into the presence of God. It was so sacred. It was so awesome. It was so holy. Under the old covenant, we read about that. And now under the new covenant, Paul says, you're the temple. You're the temple. You're the tabernacle. You're the house. You're the dwelling place of God. You are. You are the dwelling place. He's not going to come and live in you. He's living in you if you're born again. Now, how did he come and live on the inside? Go back to John 14 quickly. John chapter 14. Notice verse 16. How did God come to live in us? And I will pray the Father. John 14, 16. I will pray or ask the Father, Jesus said, and he will give you another comforter. That word another in the Greek language is the word that means one identical in nature and character in every respect. What Jesus is saying is, I'm going to send someone who's going to live in you who is identical to me in every way. And he's going to live on the inside of you. He's not going to be with you like I am. He's going to be in you. Hallelujah. So wherever you are, that's where he will be. He said, I'm going to give you another comforter that he may abide with you for at least 30 days. 60 days, 90 days, money back guarantee. No. For how long? Forever. Do we really believe that? Well, I just left church, the presence of God. I just don't feel God anymore. When you left, God left with you. He's in you. He's in you. I just don't feel like God loves me. Are you born again? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Then God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost are living on the inside of you. If they can't put you over, what can? What can? Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Thank you, brother. 1 John chapter 4. This is one of my favorite scriptures. I have a lot of favorite scriptures. I remember after I graduated from Rhema, and you know, was the epitome of all biblical knowledge and wisdom. Actually, I was embarrassed at how little I really knew. But after graduating from Rhema, you know, I'm doing my daily devotions. I was reading one day. I was home alone. Thank God I was. And I was reading this scripture and I read it. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I read that. Just seemed like something went off on the inside of me. I had to get up out of my chair and do a lap around the living room. Nobody was there. I sat back down, read that again, had to do another lap. Read that the third time, had to take a third lap. Something just went off on the inside of me. All of a sudden, you know, I had it up here. All of a sudden, I got the illumination down here. And greater, greater is he that's in me. He that's in me than he that's in the world. There is nothing in this world, no problem, no circumstance, no sickness, no disease, no calamity, nothing that's greater than the power that's in you. We should never be sad, never be down, never be depressed, never be discouraged, because we have the greater one on the inside. And if we rely upon him and his ability and walk in the light of what we know, we can have victory every day. You know, every believer already has all the power and ability they need to overcome anything or to accomplish anything on the inside of them. The reason many Christians do not experience victory in their lives is because they don't know who lives in them. Or if they do, they don't know how to put him to work for them. Amen. We need to become God inside minded. How do you put him to work? I remember I heard the other day I was listening to an old tape. And back in the 70s, I think it was. One of Brother Hagin's tapes. And, you know, he told all kinds of stories. And I remember this particular story. He was, I don't know where he was, but he said he was actually kind of babysitting a church. And they had a visiting evangelist come in. And he was preaching. And he gave the altar call and nobody responded. So finally he, you know, gave all kinds of other kinds of altar calls. Finally some people came down. And there was he was standing, he said, within earshot of this evangelist. And he said he heard the young girl who came down, and she began to cry. And she said, oh, pray for me. She said, you know, she said, I work in an office with 18 other people, and I'm the only Christian. I'm the only Christian in that office. And they treat me so mean. They know I'm a Christian. They treat me so mean. And it's just horrible. I have to work in that environment every single day. I want you to pray for me. And the evangelist said, well, I'll pray that God will give you an anointing that will put you over. He laid hands on her. He said, you know, and he went through all these different things. And finally, you know, she went back to the prayer room. He said, I had to go back to the prayer room because there was another person I needed to pray with. And I prayed with him. I noticed this young lady was just kneeling there crying. And he said, I walked up to her and I said, you know, what's the matter? Well, she said, you know, she said, I work at this office and I'm the only Christian. And all the rest of them are unbelievers and they treat me so mean. He said, yeah, I heard that. He said, I know the evangelist prayed for you. And he prayed for you, you know, that you'd get an anointing and God put you over. Let me ask you a question. Did you get it? Oh, well, what do you mean? Well, did you get the anointing? Well, I don't know. What do you mean? Well, did you get the anointing? Well, I don't know if I did or not. He said, well, if you didn't, how would you know if you got it? Well, I was expecting if I got anything, when I go to work, everything will be different. He said, let me ask you something. You're a member of this church, is that right? Yeah, that's right. Are you saved? Well, you know I'm saved. Well, I'm just asking you, are you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. Are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, didn't Jesus say that my Father and I will come and make our abode in you? Yeah. Didn't the Holy Ghost say through John that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world? Yeah. So you got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost living in you.
Amen.
If they can't put you over, who can? Well, then what am I going to do? He said, well, I tell you what. When you get up in the morning, stop saying what you've been saying. Stop saying, oh, I know I'm going to have problems all day today. I know when I go down there, they're going to persecute me. I know when I go down there that they're going to give me... How'd you know I was saying that? Because you're defeated. You had to be saying that. Because you're defeated. Stop praying the way you've been praying. You've been praying, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. How'd you know I've been praying that way? Well, you had to be praying that way. So when you get up in the morning, instead of saying that and praying that, get up in the morning and say, God, you live in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. You're greater than any problem. You're greater. The power that's in me is greater than all the power that's in those sinners down there at work. You're going to put me over today. You're going to make me have victory today. I'm going to have a great day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Start saying that. Start praying what the Bible says to pray. He said, I ran into her about a year later. She had a smile on her face. He said, you know, everything just changed. Do you know what? You already have. If you're born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, you already have everything you need to put you over. You just got to know who's in you. And if you don't know who's in you, find out. And secondly, you have to find out how to put him to work for you.
Yes.
How do you put him to work? By what you say and how you pray. You either let him work or you limit him by what you say. You either limit God or you allow God to work by what you say and how you pray. Thou art snared with the words of your mouth.
Yes.
Turn back to John chapter 16 and we'll close. That's whistle number two, by the way, if you're counting. John chapter 14. Did I say 16?
Yes.
I meant 14. You should have known that. John chapter 14, verse 16. Who's on the inside of you? God's in you. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, greater. Greater is he. My goodness gracious. My goodness, what should we be saying? If we really knew, that's our problem. If we really knew who's on the inside, we'd change our confession. We'd change our outlook. Every day'd be a bright day. There'd be no more dark clouds over the horizon because we've got the answer on the inside. You've got to realize something. For you to fail, God has to fail. For you to be defeated, God has to be defeated. That's not going to happen, my brother and sister. And he's in you. He's in you. Now notice here, John chapter 14, verse 16. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father and he'll give you another comforter. Here's the Amplified. I will ask the Father and he shall give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, standby, that he may remain with you forever. That's his ministry. What is he doing in you? What's he doing through you? Is he just a spiritual hitchhiker? Hitchhiking his way through life? Or are you putting him to work? He's your helper. That means he's going to help you, not do it for you, but help you do what you need to do. Do you need comfort? He's there to help you. Do you need counsel? He's there to provide counsel. Do you need any help? He's your helper. Do you need someone to make intercession for you and through you? He's there. Do you need an advocate, an attorney, a lawyer to represent you? That's what he is. Do you need strength? He's your strengthener. Do you need a standby? Do you need someone to stand by you when no one else will? He's your standby. Stand up with me. Stand up with me. Say it with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. He's greater than the devil. He's greater than demons. He's greater than sickness. He's greater than disease. He's greater than any test or trial. He's greater than any problem in my life. He's greater than anything that can come my way. And he lives in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I cannot be defeated. I will not quit. Because God is for me. God is with me. God is in me. If God is for me, who can be against me? If God is for me, it makes no difference who's against me. I cannot fail. I cannot be defeated. I am victorious. I'm more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. 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 Hallelujah. 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 You need to meditate on that. Say that every day when you get up. Instead of saying, oh, it's going to be a terrible day. I don't know if I can make it. Oh, I don't know if I can stand it another day down there at the office working with those people. I don't know if I can put up with that person again. Instead of listing all your problems and everything, begin to say what the Word said. Begin to say the greater one's in you. I've got all wisdom. I've got all counsel. I've got all ability. I've got everything I need to put me over today. And because I have the greater one, I'm going to have a good day. I'm going to have a blessed day. This is the day the Lord hath made. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to have a peaceful and prosperous and productive day because the greater one's in me. I can't fail. Start your day that way. Put him to work for you. Too much of the time you're trying to take care of your problems in the arm of the flesh and your own wisdom and ability, and you fall flat on your face. Put the Holy Ghost to work. You have difficult people? Put the Holy Ghost to work. Put the greater one. Say, I'm not going to have any problems. Holy Ghost, here we go. Here we go. You're greater. You're greater. You're greater than the devil in them. You're greater than the problem in them. You're greater than the devil in any other person around me. And I'm walking in the light of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Become God inside minded. Because that's where he lives.